Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio.
NFL Recap Show, brought to you by The Zen Man, only on
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Oh, look at this run! What a run! Marshawn Lynch, still on his feet. 10 blockers now. He's dancing his way to the touchdown.
Until it's bright out. Oh, just another lonely night. Are you willing to sacrifice your life?
To the most NFL pregame show on Ship to Shore Radio. Yes, everybody, it's a beautiful Saturday edition of the NFL pregame show with the Zen Man, and I want to welcome my special guest. He's not new to the network, but without further ado, Mr. Captain Frank Adred.
Hey, everyone, what's going on? Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy whatever. Thanks for having me on today, Zen, as your very special co-host.
Hey, you said very special, not me. No, you are very special to everybody listening and to me as well. And let's just kick it off. I like to talk about, what's ahead, but let's face it, last week, week 15, was probably one of the best week of games we've had all season. And just to start it off, let's talk about the streaks. The streaks I honestly didn't think would end, but you told me that one of them would, and that was the Chiefs beating the Packers. You said, well, you didn't say the Chiefs specifically would beat the Packers, but you said the Packers would lose, and they were 13-0, and they did. Chiefs beat them 19-14, but not by the guy you would think, Kyle Orton, and obviously the Kansas City defense was a big part of that as well. Did they expose the Packers? Do you think that the Packers have anything to worry about come playoff time?
Packers do have a little bit to worry about. They have significant injuries. Other than that, the Packers will be okay. But now the Chiefs, I don't think there's any big plans so much as they came out ready to play, as there's that old saying, any given Sunday. And it was on that given Sunday that they were given a butt kicking. So that's all I know. But as far as being exposed, as long as they stop getting significant injuries, the Packers should be okay. As far as getting to the Super Bowl, whether we'll win it or not, that's a discussion for later on during this show, if you get to it or not. But I'm not seeing them win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I had a show last night, and I didn't have them make it to the Super Bowl as well. That was partly due to the Saints, to be honest with you, their high-powered offense. But, yeah, let's talk about last Sunday and the Chiefs. I didn't have it on the TV, but I was eyeballing my phone. Obviously, me being down here in Miami and being a huge Dolphins fan, I wasn't around in 1972, but, it wasn't my fault. And I cherish that undefeated season every year. And, obviously, there's nothing much else to root for about the Dolphins. But the Dolphins did win last week, and then the 72 Dolphins got their wish last week as well. So all is good around the NFL. But you know what? I'm also a huge underdog fan, and it was kind of overshadowed because I was just so focused on the Packers and Dolphins. But still, the 0-13 Colts, that was a pretty electrifying win for them. Beating the Titans, who are 7-6, and I picked them a couple weeks in a row to be in the playoffs. I thought the Titans really were getting it worked out with Chris Johnson having a couple big games. But Dan Orlovsky, you know, they had the number one pick locked down, but Orlovsky really doesn't care. He comes in now for about 3 or 4 weeks now. He's been playing very impressive. Let's talk about the defense, him and Donald Brown. A lot of backups playing, you know, but how did they – I mean, you talk about a team that's 0-13, but they stepped it up and played with a lot of confidence. How did that happen?
Well, you got to remember the thing about the Colts. They were built for a quarterback like Peyton Manning, a very small, fast team. Peyton would keep the offense on the field long enough. He gave them great field position and didn't, by and large, he didn't put the Colts in position to where the defense would have their backs against the wall. And no matter what they did, he seemed to bail them out a lot. But now you don't have anybody bailing either side of the ball out, unfortunately. So this is not a good thing for them. Yeah, I didn't see them winning one, to be honest. But Orlovsky, I kind of look back to what he did when he was the quarterback for the Detroit Lions. And he definitely should have been quarterbacking long before he did. This season,
yeah,
he brought him in much sooner.
Yeah, I saw, honestly, yeah, with Curtis Painter, they were horrific, man. There was maybe a game or two where they were in it, and I thought they had a chance, but they looked horrible. They put in Orlovsky for one game. I really didn't know anything about him, and he, I know fantasy-wise, I think he had about 57 points, which is outright, it's ridiculous. He had a huge game, and I could definitely see a difference in the offense, but I was right with you, man. Their schedule wasn't that bad, but, I mean, to end the year, it was too much for them. I thought they were gonna go 0-16, but I'm glad they didn't. And we'll get more on the this week's games a little bit later. But just really quick, just a couple more news to talk about. You know, the Dolphins aren't totally safe yet. Another record that, let's face it, is gonna most likely be broken this year. The 1984 Dan Marino single season passing yards record. Let's talk about Drew Brees. I don't know how tall he is, but he's not very tall, and yet I think he's about to shatter the all-time record, well, the single-season record for passing yards. He's on pace for 5,463 yards, which is a good 300 over that mark, and he's got two games left. Drew Brees right now, 4,780 yards, 37 touchdowns, only 11 picks. What's got into Drew Brees this year? He hasn't got the contract that he was wanting, but he seems to put it behind him. Do you think they have a legitimate shot this year to do something big?
That's one of the teams that can challenge the Packers because they have downhill runners and they have fast runners. They have runners can go left and right, can go east and west. And that is one of the teams that could challenge the Packers. Because with Drew Brees chucking the ball out over the field like that and the fact they haven't really used their running game, they'll be able to play in the cold. There's no doubt about that. So they have the runners who can get their footing because the Packers don't have a running game. Just because Ryan Grant showed up a couple of games ago, they still won't have a running game. So, yeah, they could go after some big things. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't end up in the Super Bowl. Yes, you heard it from me here first. Not the 49ers.
No, I had him picked there too, to be honest with you. Not to win it, but I had him to go. And, yeah, man, well, they're sort of similar. I mean, they don't really have a huge – I think the Saints definitely have the edge in the running game with Darren Sproles. Mark Ingram's been kind of shooken up this year. Ryan Grant he's getting better, but he isn't where he was a couple years ago. But, yeah, man. I'm not going to just totally dismiss these guys. I mean, this is a loss. Everybody's got to have a bad game, you know, the Packers. But it definitely makes things a lot more interesting. And let's just face it, I think the Saints and Drew Brees, I can't count that guy out. He seems like he has a lot of confidence and a chip on the shoulder every time he steps on the field. But, yeah, looking forward to that. You know, just look out for it. He might break the record this Monday night. And when he goes on Monday night, it's just ugly. He just seems to go off for 5 touchdowns every time. But we'll see what happens. He only needs about 300 yards to pass the record this week. And just really quick, too much hype probably for the Tom Brady, Tim Tebow. But you know what? They're both winning a lot of games, and I don't like that the fact that they were comparing the two as quarterbacks. You know, I'll be honest, Tom Brady's much better than Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow's exciting to watch, but Tom Brady, you know, by far has more talent than him. And, you know, I did pick the Broncos to win by three just because I thought that their defense was really good. And I know that the Tom Brady and the Pats offense is really good as well, but I just thought the defense always wins games. But Tom Brady, would you say he won 41-23, not a close game. I think it was a chip on the shoulder. You know, let's face it, he doesn't really care about, you know, the limelight. He does a little bit, but let's face it, Tom Brady's name is said about once on SportsCenter these days, and Tim Tebow's is said about 50 times. You think that's probably a good motivation tool for Tom Brady coming into that game?
I missed something. Just what did you ask about Tom Brady again?
Yeah, I was just saying last week, Tom Brady and Tim Tebow, you know, the Denver Broncos Pats matchup. You think, you know, I had Denver just, I predicted them to win just because they kept winning and I had faith in Tim Tebow, but I was not surprised at all by the outcome, the 41-23 win for the Pats. You think Tom Brady maybe had a little chip on his shoulder from the fact that Tim Tebow's getting all the spotlight and all the attention, and, you know, Tom Brady, you know, he might actually pass the record this year too, but he's not getting, you know, nobody cares about him. Do you think he maybe wanted to wake up everybody in the AFC and tell them, look, we're the team to beat?
I think everyone wanted the whole Patriots team to wake the media up. See, it's not about Tebow, okay? I assume you say no. I don't think he was too upset about that at all. I think he just said to himself, you know what, let's just go out here and play our game because you don't need to talk about someone. Just see what happens. He's been to so many Super Bowls and so many things that I don't think he personally really cared. I think he just said, you know what, Tebow time isn't going to happen if we're way in front of him. And that's what happened. I just don't think the Patriots wanted Tebow time to become even a possibility. And that's what happened. Of course, you're going to realize, and I'll be very brief here, but you do realize, were it not for those three turnovers, we may be talking about a different result because the Broncos started fast and they had everything going for them. They were up, playing ahead with good pace. They just screwed up by turning the ball over.
Yeah.
So we'll never know. We will never know because turnovers, you can't say anything about it. It is what it is. And their turnovers hurt them, so we'll never know. It could have been a different game.
Right, but, you know, the Pats have their own story going, too, with a great play. Like I said, Tom Brady, he might pass the record as well, but that record won't mean anything because of Drew Brees. And Rob Gronkowski setting his own records as a tight end, just amazing on his part. Let's talk about just really quick, just big news, nothing to really talk about. Monday Night Football, Big Ben playing on one foot, it seemed like. A guy that just never quits, and I have respect for him, but I lost a little bit of it Monday. I mean, there's playing with pain, and there's kind of playing when you shouldn't. And two power outages also didn't really affect the game too much. It delayed it for about 20 minutes to start, and in the second quarter it went out again, but it wasn't too bad. They kept playing. James Harrison did not play from his game suspension on hitting Colt McCoy the week before. And it was pretty much a rout, San Fran, 20-3. I think a big part of the defense, but, you know, Big Ben just wasn't himself. No touchdowns, three picks. And they had a chance to be a first or second seed, and instead they lose and remain in the wild card spot. They're going to sit Big Ben this week, but they have, you know, I think it plays out to their advantage. They don't have a hard schedule to end the season. They have the Browns and the Rams. Do you see him sitting to the playoffs?
The Brown? Excuse me, say that again?
Big Ben and Roethlisberger. He should. I think they should sit him. You know, he had a pretty serious injury. They have only the Rams and the Browns remaining on the schedule. They're sitting him this week against the Rams. Should they just sit him for the remainder of the season?
I think so. Until he's as close to being healed as possible, because now that's when the games really matter. I know they wanted to sew up home field advantage and all these other things, but if Bengals down in the playoffs, they are in bigger trouble. So if I were the coach, I would sit him down.
Yeah, he's the type of guy. I mean, you know, you want to be at home and you want to have the best record, but one, that actually might still be accomplished because of the competition they have left, and two, you know, you got to have he's your leader. He's a guy that it doesn't matter where he's playing. He can play on a rooftop. He's still going to play good, and just got to get his ankle healthy, or at least to a point where he could, you know, plant and throw. You could tell it just wasn't himself. And last thing, Eli Manning. A lot of negativity on him. He's still having a huge season. He beat the Cowboys, and he was in great position. Now, last week, he loses to the Redskins. Zero touchdowns, three picks, three fumbles. He has not been as inconsistent as he has been over the years, but he's definitely had a couple random games where he's just screwed up, but still on pace for maybe 5,000 yards this year. And, you know, they still control their own destiny. If they lose today, the Giants and the Cowboys win, they're out of the playoffs. But if they win out, huge game. Just thought that was interesting for Eli just last week. A very uncharacteristic for that. But let's kick it off to last week's scores, okay? And really quick, just I'm not going to talk too much about it, but here's what happened last week. Thursday night, Jaguars-Falcons. No contest. Falcons win 41-14. Cowboys-Bucks. Cowboys looked impressive, 31-15 over the Bucks, but it was the Buccaneers, and I don't think they've won a game in 2 months. Bengals-Rams. Bengals continuing to win the games that they have to win. They're 8-6 now with a 2013 win over the Rams, so they're still in the hunt. Dolphins-Bills. This is a great game. It's 30-23 Dolphins. It was a little bit worse than that. I think the Bills tacked on a few mercy points there at the end to make it look easy. But the Titans and Colts, obviously we talked about that. Colts get their first win, 27-13. Redskins, Giants, I just talked about that. Eli, horrible game. No touchdowns, man. It's the game they needed. But they lose 7-7 now in the season. Redskins get another win. They're having a shaky, weird season, but Redskins looking good now. Saints, Vikings, Drew Brees, just another huge, huge game. They win 42-20 over the Vikings. Vikings only two wins now in the season. Packers, Chiefs, talked about earlier. Packers get their first loss. Chiefs win at home 19-14. Panthers, Texans. Texans, you know, I understand they're in the third string quarterback, but upset by the Panthers. Panthers obviously having a huge year offensively, but, you know, the record definitely says otherwise. But they win 28-13. Kind of surprised, kind of not. I had Texans winning big, but Panthers win. Seahawks, Bears, I had predicted this pretty much perfectly. I had not as big a win, but I had the Seahawks winning by about 20. It was a little worse than that, 38-14 Seahawks. The Bears are just done, man. I believe you're a Bears fan, and Caleb Haney is just not getting it done. I believe you guys are turning into a new quarterback this week, Josh McCown. They're still in the hunt,
yeah.
But, you know, as a realist, not a fan, you guys are done, right?
That's really true. When you talk about we're in the hunt, yeah, we're out to hunt for some beer or something, because as far as football, the season is toast. It really it was toast after they lost the third game in a row. And then they added insult to injury by losing. Because everyone knows that the wild card's coming. One of them is coming out of the NFC North, and it's going to be the Detroit Lions. Whereas the Bears had a legitimate opportunity to mess with the Packers' plans a little bit. But it is what it is. Their season is done. And picks, that's almost like the Chicago Cubs. Wait till next year, and that's what they'll have to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate injuries. You know, just like the Texans. These guys lost their starting quarterback and their star running back. And Marion Barber he's not horrible, but he's definitely made some huge mistakes. He tossed him the game against Tebow and in the Denver Broncos. And obviously Forte was having a breakout year. And just bad injuries, nothing you could do. And the defense, I thought was good enough to maybe keep him in some games, but 38 at home against the Seahawks, definitely just the nail in the coffin for their season. But moving on, I said the Lions escaped in Oakland 28-27. missed field goal by Janikowski kept the Lions and their wild card hopes very much alive and put them in great position. Winning their end today. Jets, Eagles. Jets, I mean, I give it to the Eagles. They're now in, I think they're playing as good as anybody right now. But the Jets, all they had to do was win, and, you know, I think they're pretty much set for a wild card berth, but they lose 48-5-19 Eagles. Eagles are still alive, everybody. You heard it first, but they're hanging by the thinnest of threads, and we'll see where that takes them. They cannot lose anymore, obviously. The Cardinals and the Browns. Cardinals staying alive as well. They were 1-6, I believe, earlier in the year. They have been nothing but winning. They're 7-7, still alive. I don't have any team in the NFC. If they made it, that would be awesome. But the Cardinals win barely 20-17. They are still alive for today's games. Talked about the Patriots and Broncos. Patriots come into Mile High, 41-23 for them. And Patriots now top among the AFC East. Ravens, Chargers. You know what? The Ravens are a great team, but the Chargers is one of those teams when it's 3 or 4 weeks left in the season, they're as good as anybody. And they proved it 34-14. Just honestly destroyed them on Sunday Night Football. And the Monday night game, 49ers 20-3 over the Steelers. Story of that game I already talked about, just Big Ben's injury. And, you know, especially against the 49ers defense on the road. 49ers have not allowed a rushing touchdown all season. Just thought that was a great stat to point out. And I think that they, I'm not counting them out. Their offense sucks, but you know what? Their defense is as good as I've seen since the Buccaneers in 2002, I believe, which they didn't have an offense really either, but their defense won every game for them, it seemed like. So that's how it looks like right now. Anything to add on any of those games?
No, I think you covered it there, Zen Man. Absolutely, I think you covered it.
Cool. And just really quick, I have the playoff picture up right now. Just so you guys know, in the AFC, four teams have clinched. Patriots, Ravens, Texans all won their division. Steelers, you know, it's usually the same thing every year. Steelers, Ravens usually clinch, fighting over the wild card / AFC North. And the Broncos at 8-6, they look good. Their schedule is very favorable for them. They have to play the Bills this week, and I believe they play. I kind of lost myself on that one, but they have an easy game next week as well. I totally have a brain fart right now, but yeah, I think the Broncos are good unless they have a total meltdown. Tim Tebow is the kind of guy that, you know, he's not good enough. He is good enough, but, you know, if he plays an elite team like the Pats, he kind of, you know, he can get outplayed. But when he plays an easy team, he doesn't let that slip away. So I think they're good. The Jets hanging on 8-6. But in the hunt, the Jets are in the wild card. In the hunt, you have the Bengals at 8-6 as well. The Titans, Raiders, Chargers are all 7-7. And the lonely Chiefs are still sitting there at 6-8. Not in 10 attention for the wild card, I believe, but they have a 3-7 conference record, so they're definitely the only hope is to win the division. That's how it looks over there in the AFC. In the NFC, Packers, 49ers, and Saints have all clinched. They're, you know, having great years. Cowboys hanging there. If they win today and the Giants lose, they are in the playoffs. If they both win or both lose, then they have to go to the last game of the year. Whoever wins that game between the Cowboys and the Giants is going to the playoffs. It's a weird year for both of them, but they're both alive very much. The Falcons and the Lions, they're in. They both have a two-game lead over anybody left in the hunt. If they lose out and any of these teams wins out, I suppose you could be looking at another playoff team, but it's the Seahawks, Bears, Giants, Cardinals, they have some tough games today. I believe the Seahawks play the 49ers. The Bears play the Packers. The Giants play the Jets. And the Cardinals play the Bengals. So it's not looking good for the in-the-hunt teams over there, the NFC. But anything can happen, guys. This has been the season of randomness and just break meltdowns and everything else. So do not count anybody out and don't bet against anybody today. And really quick, I just want to really get into. I lost myself here. It happens sometimes. Let's get into the Zen Man's power rankings, and no better way to start it off than with the beautiful sounds.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров «Персональный спутник».
Right, the Zen Man has the power rankings for everybody today. You might have your own version, I don't know, but here's my version right now. At number 10, I have the Cowboys. You know, it depends which team shows up. They did lose DeMarco Murray, but I still feel that they have a legitimate shot of making the playoffs. But it's going to be a tough, basically comes down to last week, I believe, and we'll see what they do there. Obviously, against the Giants, anything can happen. The Eagles, I have a number 9. You know what? Right now, they're playing as good as anybody, and I think that they're going to beat the Cowboys today. So we'll see what happens with that. And then the Giants, it felt weird to put 3 teams in a row, but you know what? This is how I feel it plays out. And the Giants, I still feel they're better than those two. I'm not going to count them out because of one bad game. Eli's having a great year, and I feel that they're the potential NFC East representative for the playoffs. At number 7, I still have the Texans. They're not playing great right now, but you know they're still working out some kinks. You know they're going to have a couple losses because they're not used to TJ Yates and that offense. But you know I still think all around they have a great defense, running game, as good as anybody. And if they have Andre Johnson back for the playoffs, I think they're still a threat. At number 6, I have the Steelers because of Big Ben and his injury. If he's not playing, they're a horrible team. And as of right now, I still think that they're a team to reckon with, but if they don't have Ben Roethlisberger healthy, then they have some problems. At number 5, I have the Ravens. They're getting a little old, but I still feel when it comes down to big games, they're going to win. Their defense is as good as anybody. And they have an offense now. Ray Rice, as good as any running back there is. Torrey Smith, young guy, a wide receiver. And Joe Flacco, I think, can get it done. At number 4, I have the Patriots. Their defense is getting better, and their offense is lights out. They showed a huge offensive outburst last week in Mile High, and I think Tom Brady is playing with a chip on the shoulder, and I watch out for the Patriots for sure. But the 49ers I have above you guys because of your defense. Like I said, no rushing touchdowns given up all year. That's ridiculous. You know, it's almost against percentages. If you have the ball at the 1 and you rush it 4 times, you're going to get it in. 60% of the time, 80% of the time. The 49ers have not allowed that, and that's the only team that has ever done that in NFL history. The next closest team this year has given up 6 rushing touchdowns. It's amazing what they're doing. Number 2, I have the Saints. God, their offense is scaring me. They're just lights out. Drew Brees is putting up huge numbers every game, and I see no more confident player in the NFL than the Saints in that offense. And at number 1, you did lose, but I still have the Packers. They've been number 1 on my power rankings all year. And Captain Frankendred, do you have anything to say about my list?
I will withhold any comment because I happen to like the list. It's pretty good, and it's based on what's really happening at this moment, what's going down. So it's no big deal. Good job, man. I was thinking, wow, okay, he's got it. I don't have anything to add or subtract from your power list right now.
it's not easy. It's a fun thing to do, but it's not easy. This list changes. So, I mean, the Packers are usually number 1, but everything else, so it's the hardest thing to do because you have to try to figure out who these teams really are, and they give you a new identity every week. It's impossible.
It's also been a weird year, too. You realize that because the rules have changed, and also they came in late, and some teams just now are blossoming. That's everything to do with the Eagles. Eagles could be in the top 3, even. If they started at the beginning of the season and had a full training camp, you never know. But right now, you're seeing what everybody was afraid of with the Eagles, finally. Maybe too late.
Yeah, you saw a little bit of earlier, and then you just saw most of the season. It's just been a bad trip for the Eagles, and I picked them to honestly I was the first. I mean, I picked them to go 14, 15 wins maybe. Just their offense last year was so ridiculous. I mean, when you watch Michael Vick and that offense play, it was scary. Their speed was just probably the fastest I've ever seen ever, you know, in the NFL, and just crazy. But somehow they've just been horrible this year. But still, I think they're going to have a couple good years left in them. But that's just really quick. I talked a little bit about it, but just to clarify, who could clinch today in the NFC? The wild card it can all be decided today in the NFC. If the Falcons and the Lions both win, well, if the Falcons win, they're in. They can both clinch. They're both 9-5. Both have two game leads with two games to go. So if they win, they're in. If they lose, Seattle, Chicago, Arizona, all playing tough teams. If they all lose, regardless of what the Falcons and Lions do, if they all lose, then the Falcons and Lions are in no matter what. So we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, the Falcons got to play the Saints, so they might have to rely on a couple losses there. The Cowboys, like I said, they can clinch today. If the Giants lose or tie, I suppose, and the Cowboys win, that'll give them a two-game lead with one game to go, and mathematically that means you're in, regardless what they do next week. Broncos can clinch with a win, and San Diego, Kansas City loss. I am not 100% sure on the tie-breaking procedures here, but they definitely, if they win and San Diego, Kansas City loses, then they have Kansas City, I just checked the standings. They're two games back. Kansas City, if the Broncos win anyways, Kansas City's done. But if San Diego if San Diego loses and Oakland loses, the Broncos are good. I'm sorry, this is so confusing sometimes. Some of these teams, they make it harder. The Zen Man get me all jumbled up. And so, but like I said, Broncos, that's a lot of stuff to happen for the Broncos to not make it. So if you're a Broncos fan, keep watching, but I think you guys are good. The Jets can clinch if they win, and San Diego, Tennessee, Oakland all lose. But I do not have the Jets making it to the playoffs, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's get into the fun stuff, the prediction time. Are you ready for some predictions of today's
Absolutely.
Game?
Absolutely. Oh, let me tell you, I'm all ready.
Oh, great, great, great. All right, let's kick it off with, not a too important game. Cleveland at Baltimore. Zen Man predicts Baltimore wins 27-13. How about yourself?
I'm just going to tell you flat out, I'm expecting the Ravens to win, and I'll leave the scoring up to you. I'll just simply tell you the team, and we'll go from there, because you have a pretty good handle on that because you have all those fantasy stats. I just know what's going to go down.
Yeah, I totally understand. Denver at Buffalo. Denver, I have won in 23-20. It's at Buffalo, so I think Denver is definitely, Buffalo's not a good team anymore, but they're still okay. And I think Denver usually doesn't like to blow out people. They like to keep it close, so I think Denver wins it by a field goal.
I think that you're right in that Denver will win, and I think it'll be by just a field goal. Tebow time might have to come out again.
Yeah, it's only about an 80% chance Tebow time has to happen. But, yeah, Tampa Bay at Carolina. Tampa Bay, horrific, man. And Carolina, it might be worse than this. My prediction, 33-23 Carolina.
Carolina for sure.
Yeah, no problem. No question there. Arizona at Cincinnati. I like Arizona, but you know what? Cincinnati, I still feel, is a better team. And they know they have to win. The last eight games of the season, I knew they had to play the Ravens and the Steelers four times, which I thought was going to destroy their playoff hopes. They haven't really beat them, but because of people like the Jets who are so giving this year, they still have a chance to make the playoffs. So I have the Cincinnati winning 27-23 against the Cardinals.
Yeah, I have to tell you the Bengals, they're going to win this one. Andy Dalton, he'll have one more good game to make people believe he's going to be a good quarterback.
The future, yeah. AJ Green's coming back too. He's probable for today's game. And, all right, so Oakland at Kansas City. I have a feeling we probably have different views on this one. I have Oakland winning 24-20. Chiefs, thank you for last week, but you're still the Chiefs, and I think Oakland, a better team, both aren't really good teams in my opinion, but I think the Oakland wins it 24-20.
I have to say Chiefs because they're still playing well, and defense-wise, you got to realize Roman Cornell's a great defensive coordinator, and now he's head coach, and the team cares about him. I think you can expect the Raiders to lose this one.
All right, we'll see what happens with that.
Yep.
And this is – I'm trying to figure out in the Zen Man's heart if this is just a pick of the Zen Man's hopes and dreams, or if it's the hope – or if it's a pick of reality. I think I'm going to pick the Miami Dolphins to win today, 28-27. If you feel like picking the Pack or the Patriots, go ahead, man. I'm not going to have any hard feelings.
I'm picking the Patriots just because the Belichick machine is it's finally oiled right now. So that's all I have to say. Nothing else DB said. I love it if the Dolphins could have won today, but it's just not going to happen.
Miami's a feisty team, and I always have one game that I feel is going to be the upset of the day. That's definitely my upset pick. Giants at Jets. I'm sorry. I crack up every time I hear this. I have SportsCenter running up and down my store. And the Giants get embarrassed by the Redskins last week. The Jets get annihilated by the Eagles. And now they're both talking smack to each other, like, oh, we're the best in New York. Guys, you guys are fighting for your playoff hopes, and you guys are worried about, like, talking trash. You guys are both horrible teams, and I just thought it was really funny. But we'll see what happens. They're Giants on the road, but they're also at home playing in the same stadium. Giants, I believe, will win 31-20 behind Eli Manning and Victor Cruz.
Okay. I picked the Giants, the G-men.
Cool. St. Louis at Pittsburgh. Not really. Ben Roethlisberger not playing, but at home. I don't care if you have Evil Rob at quarterback. I still believe Pittsburgh's better than St. Louis. So I think Pittsburgh wins 27-17.
Yes, and it might be. Yeah, that's a pretty legit score. I'll hand you that one. We'll see what happens, but I believe that's the case. That's what's going to happen.
Yes, I'll talk about it on my injury report, but third string is in for St. Louis Rams. So it's, let's face it, I guess Pittsburgh's had a better advantage anyways. Jacksonville at Tennessee. Tennessee still alive. I have Tennessee winning 23-20.
Well, I have to pick the Titans just because at some point Jake Locker will end up in the game. And that, I know he's a rookie, but they should just let him play because clearly that's the best chance to win.
Cool. Definitely Hasselbeck is going to get the start. And, you know, Jacksonville, for the most part, is horrible. And they're on the road. So, yeah, Titans for sure. Moving on really quick, Minnesota at Washington. I think Washington right now is a good team, so I have them winning 31-28. Minnesota doesn't like to win games, so I think they lose a close one. Washington 31-28.
I believe Washington will win, too. It's another situation of Florida versus Florida State. Rex Grossman for Florida and Christian Ponder for Florida State. And Florida is about
30-28. That's funny. Yeah, true on that one. San Diego at Detroit. This should be a fun one. I just can't pick against San Diego. Anyway, I don't care who they're playing. San Diego, I think, wins a shootout 42-31 in Chargers on the road.
Because they have Calvin Johnson, there's no way possible I can bet against the Lions. So I'm picking the Lions to win.
214 yards last week. I can't fault you by saying those two words myself, but yeah. Good, not bad. I mean, they're both offensive teams right now, so anybody can win that one, but expect a lot of points. Above 70, I'm calling it right now, as the over-under. Philly at Dallas. It's so hard to pick it, but I got Philly 31-28. I just, you know, about Philly's just, you know, let's face it, they have better players, and I think that they're a better team as long as they're playing like they should, and I think they are doing that right now. So I have Philly winning on the road.
Philly definitely is winning because they're going to play inside on artificial turf, okay? know, whatever you want to call the turf, synthetic, call it whatever.
Astros.
But it's a, you know what I mean? It's a very fast track, and a team with that much speed, don't bet against them. But the Eagles have finally put it all together. Eagles on the road with the win.
Cool. All right. San Francisco at Seattle. A lot of times I might pick this as an upset. Seattle, not an easy team to play, but I have 49ers winning 31-28. I think they have a lot of confidence, and I think their defense is going to step it up. But I have not a big win, but 31-28, 49ers.
Negative, 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 negative. I have Stanford beaten the University of Southern California by 3 points. I have Seattle beating 49ers by Pete Carroll and his USC Trojan team.
Trojans.
beating the Stanford Cardinal, coached by Jim Harbaugh, once again. No, well, yeah, I just believe that.
Welcome to the college pregame show with Captain Frankie Dredd. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have all these coaches coming in from college, and every now and then you have a few funny moments, and that was one of them. Yes, I'm picking Seahawks to beat the 49ers. I said it all week, and here it is. It's time for people to see the wisdom of that move.
Okay, I can't fault it on that one. I've had doubts on San Francisco's offense all year. David Akers seems to be the MVP of that one. But we'll see. Like I said, I had a close game either way, but definitely a toss-up. Chicago at Green Bay. I know you're a huge Chicago Bears fan, but let's face it, they're garbage, and Green Bay is not going to lose two in a row, I don't think. So I think Green Bay wins 34-16. I believe that's that's tonight. I believe, yeah, Sunday. No, that's Christmas Day, Sunday Night Football.
Well, thing is, I'm a professional first and foremost. And
I know that.
Nothing in front of me says that Chicago's going to win this game. If they brought out players from all of the college teams, okay, and use one of their quarterbacks, they would have a better opportunity than they will using McCown at quarterback against the Packers, okay? So there you have it. The Packers are going to win. When I mentioned this on Facebook, I caught it, but I don't care. The truth is the truth, and that's the truth, and I hope it sets everybody free. The Bears are done.
Yeah, no, they're done. They're done. I believe that truth. All right. Well, it should be a pretty lopsided game, nonetheless. Atlanta at New Orleans. I just can't. I can't bet against Drew Brees. They're at home. It could be a lot worse than this, or at least offensively for the Saints. I think they go off. I think they win 35-25, and I think that Drew Brees gets the all-time single-season passing yards record.
Not so fast, my friend.
I see what you have to say.
To win, but I would be getting a record, maybe not, because this is maybe the week when they decide that they want to show teams that they can run the ball and preserve what they may do in the playoffs. The more you pass the ball and give up some of your scheme, the better chance the team has to prepare for you in the playoffs. So this might be their experiment game. It may be. But I'm just telling you, you cannot bet against Brees. I just don't know if you'll get the record this week.
Cool. All right. I'll give you that one for the most part. I just believe they're more looked at a passing team because of their passing. I still think that their rushing is good. You know, they're not like some teams. I mean, Darren Sproles is actually having a pretty big year. Mark Ingram is actually having a good year too when he's healthy. I don't think that they're just everybody views them as just a passing team. Period. I mean, I think they have to watch the run. I think the running game this year, because of Sproles and what he's done, has really opened up the passing game for Drew Brees. So I don't know if. I think you're right, but I still think that, you know, they're already – I think teams are already aware of their – especially the Atlanta Falcons who've played them already. They're aware of what they can do on the ground and with short screens and dump off passes and stuff. So I think that's kind of already known, but we'll see what happens. I think he gets the record, and we'll see what happens on Monday Night Football with the Saints and the Falcons. And let's get it with my fantasy updates. let's face it, a lot of teams are in the championship today. And I have my top fantasy predictions for you guys today. I have 6 picks for you guys for quarterbacks. At number one, it is Drew Brees. I have you guys at, I have him at 400 yards today, 4 touchdowns. When he's at Monday Night Football and at home in the Dome, he is just unbeatable. He always has huge games, but he has huge games anyways, so I think he's going to have a huge fantasy game. If you have him, you're going to start him anyways, but definitely I think he's my top fantasy getter today. Cam Newton, I have a big game at home against the Buccaneers. 350, 3 touchdowns. The Bucs are just horrible. And Cam Newton stepping it up late. I think he's going to get a big one today. Phillip Rivers, 340, 3 touchdowns. I like what you're doing late in the season. And the Lions can give up a lot of points. So I think it all turns out to a big game by Phillip Rivers. Aaron Rodgers, I think he has a big game against the Bears. Not 400 yards, but I think he definitely has a comeback game. 320, 2 touchdowns. I think he has a solid game against the Bears. Matthew Stafford, in the same game as Phillip Rivers, I think he has 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. Chargers defense is getting better, but 300 yards isn't too much. But I think Matthew Stafford, obviously, he's in the top 5 this year in passing yards. I think he gets 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. And I have a bonus QB. Normally I have top 3. Sometimes I have top 5, but this is my top 6. I have Michael Vick. I have 230 passing yards, 60 rushing yards, and 2 touchdowns versus the Cowboys. I think it could be a little worse than that, but I think you're definitely going to get that many yards and that many touchdowns by Michael Vick. I still feel, you know, they're on the road, and the Cowboys' defense at times is good, but I think Michael Vick definitely overcomes that today. And at running backs, it was a tough pick. A lot of good stories this year. I have Ray Rice as my top fantasy running back this year against this week against the Browns. I think combined he's going to have 170 rushing yards and receiving yards with 2 touchdowns today. LeSean McCoy leading the league in rushing touchdowns. I think he's going to have 150 yards today and 2 touchdowns. He had a huge game earlier this year against the Cowboys, so look for the same result this week. Willis McGahee, 130 yards and touchdown versus the Bills. I think for the Broncos, they have the top rushing team in the NFL, and they're going to prove it today. Maurice Jones-Drew leading the league in rushing. I think he's going to have 120 yards and a touchdown versus the Titans. Michael Turner versus Saints, he's going to have 110 and a touchdown. And in the same game, Darren Sproles, I believe, will have 100 yards and a touchdown versus the Falcons. And he might actually pick up a lot of receiving yards as well. They like to use his speed. He's kind of a Reggie Bush-type player. With the rushing yards, I think he's going to get a lot of screen passes, a lot of opportunities to get out in the open field. So I look for a big game by Sproles being on Monday Night Football and being a part of that Drew Brees offense. And for my wide receivers at 5 for you today, Vincent Jackson, just because of what San Diego's doing right now, I think he's going to have a huge game, 160 yards, 2 touchdowns versus the Lions. Calvin Johnson, there's the man, 214 yards last week. I think he's going to have 150 at least this week, 2 touchdowns versus the Chargers. A.J. Green, he's probable to play, but I think he's going to have a big game. Arizona, still not an easy game, a team to play against, but I think he's going to have 140 yards, 2 touchdowns versus the Cardinals. Larry Fitzgerald in that same game, I believe, will have 135 yards and a touchdown. Steve Smith for Carolina will have 125 and a touchdown versus the Bucs. Do you have any other breakout players you think is going to have a huge game today?
No, I don't actually, just because I'm at the point of saying you never know what's going to happen. And
oh, yeah, this is all just – kind of what I feel like at first. Yeah, this is all going to change, I'm sure.
Yeah, as far as, according to Trusty First Mate Ken from Jersey, you can expect great games out of Arian Foster and also Steve Smith and also with Drew Brees. Those are the 3 players, and I agree with Trusty First Mate Ken.
Oh, no, I would have had Arian Foster there too, but he already played on Thursday. And, you know, that's why I didn't have him on there. But I had Steve Smith, my 5th top wide receiver today. You know what? Steve Smith could have actually a monster game playing the Bucs. But I felt like with the other teams and what they need to do to make the playoffs, they're going to work a little harder today. And like I said, Drew Brees, the number one quarterback, I think just on Monday Night Football, he's unbeatable. And with that, we're getting into almost the last segment of my show. Yes, everybody knows that's the only baby in the world more famous than the E-Trade baby. That's my NFL injury report. And for all you fantasy goers, you should know by now. I mean, it has a little red number, a red letter next to the guy's name, letting you know if he's playing or not. But if you want to know, first, from the Zen Man, let's talk about Fred Jackson. He's on the injured reserve list for the Bills. He's out. Anthony Fasano, not playing, tight end for the Dolphins. He's out for today. Colt McCoy, still out with a concussion for the quarterback for the Browns. I think Seneca Wallace should get the start for them. T.J. Ward, defensive back for the Browns, is out. Jordan Norwood, wide receiver for the Browns, out as well. For the Ravens, Anquan Boldin, he's going to miss another game. Darren McFadden continues to miss the rest of the season, I guess. I don't know. But Michael Bush is playing great, so I guess there's no – he's still going to get the job back when he gets back, but his foot injury has held him out this long. Also for the Raiders, Michael Huff, safety, is out, and Jacoby Ford remains out as well, wide receiver. For the Giants, Jake Ballard, tight end, is out for today. And also on the line, OCU Manure, defensive end, is out for the Giants, but I still feel that they will have enough to win. For the Vikings, Chris Cook, they didn't say why he was out, but he's out again. He's not injured, but he's definitely not going to play. A.J. Feely and Sam Bradford are both out for the Rams. So third-string quarterback Clemens is going to get the start today. If you're in the championship and you have Clemens playing, good luck with that anyways, but I'm just giving you guys a heads up on that. Cutler and Forte, obviously, they're going to be out for the rest of the season for the Bears. Just thought it was notable. Greg Jennings missing his second straight game. For the Packers, wide receiver. I don't know if it was really an impact last week, but they have a lot of good wide receivers, but it could be another factor this week as well. Definitely their top wide receiver. For the Giants, Mario Manningham is doubtful, so don't look for him to play. I expect a big game from Victor Cruz. Billy Cundiff for the Ravens, kicker, he is doubtful as well. Those are my notable doubtfuls and outs. There's quite a lot. More injuries, but not notable, obviously, at the end of the season. There's a lot of injuries, a lot of banged-up players. And that brings me into my final thoughts, and I hope you've been thinking about this for a while. This is my final playoff predictions. I feel this is how the regular season will end, and I want you guys to take note because I really feel this is what's going to happen. In the AFC, I have... Here's my top four. Well, no, I'll give you my entire AFC prediction, and I want to hear yours. I have the Pats finishing out 12-4 at top seed. I didn't feel that this was going to happen for the second seed, but when I played it out, this is what happened. I have the Steelers being the second seed at 12-4. I have the Texans at the third seed at 11-5, and the Broncos with the AFC West crown at 10-6. My wild card teams is the Ravens at 11-5. And the Bengals at 10-6. And how do you feel about that, Captain Frank Adred?
I can't say anything different about it. Pretty good job there. I believe in it.
Okay.
Good job.
Cool.
I
kind of enjoy a little banter, but nothing wrong with agreeing with the Zen Man. I do appreciate that. On the NFC side, here's how it looks. Green Bay, I feel that you'll win this week, but next week, you know, not you don't have anything to play for. I think you're going to sit some players. I think you're going to win. So I think you're going to finish 14-2 atop the NFC. The Saints, I feel, will somehow get that second seed. I don't see them losing any more games. 13-3 is their record and the first round bye. 49ers, if you lose one more, you move down to that third seed, and I think somewhere along the line you're going to lose. So I think 12-4 could be this week, could be in week 17. We'll see with that. And the Giants, you basically have to win out to get in. So if you guys do that, you're 9-7, which is what I think you're going to do. You will finish at the fourth seed and the NFC East crown. With that, wild card teams, they don't have to do much to get in. I feel they both will go 1-1 to finish the season and both finish at 10-6. Falcons at the fifth seed wild card spot, and the Lions at 10-6 will be the sixth spot to be the AFC wild card or NFC wild card number two spot, and well, playoff berth that's been waiting for a while since their 0-16 season about 3 or 4 years ago. But ladies and gentlemen, I'll be the first one to say that anything can happen. You could possibly see weird teams like you can see the Seahawks or the Cardinals being in this thing. Who knows, man? And but that's how I see it in the NFC. Do you have any complaints, any arguments?
Well, you gotta let me tell you, you will probably wish I agreed on this one, but you're way off base based on the Captain Frankenjed scale, because and be ready for this.
Oh, I'm ready.
I have put the Saints at number one on the power rankings.
Ooh,
and I have no reasons.
I
put the Saints there for a lot of reasons. Mainly, they don't have injuries, and also the wheels are going to come off of the Packers. I'm just saying, so start watching. And the other thing I must tell you is that the Eagles are going to the playoffs. And not only are they going, they are going to win their first game. That's how far along I'm telling you. They are going to make the playoffs.
Two things on that. The Saints can't get the first seed because the Green Bay is going to win this week. They're going to have 14 wins. And mathematically, the Saints can't even get 14 wins. That's the only reason I'm seeing. Oh, that was my fifth pick. All right. I feel that the Saints are better, but I still think that there's no way. That was my predicted standings.
Standing. I'm hearing you. So
like
last year, just remember this: the Packers came in as a wild card team, and look what they did. So that's my whole point. Given time, yeah. But I'm just telling you, based on things, not records, but the teams themselves, the Captain Frankenred power rankings say that the Saints are number one, and they're about to come marching in up until they run into the Eagles.
Yeah, let's not forget about the Green Bay. You know what, man, I'm with you. I totally feel you on that one. If you listened to my show last night, I'll tell you, man, I think the Saints are a better team for sure. Defensive-wise, I still have Green Bay. But, Saints are just, their offense is just incredible. But I'm glad you brought up the Eagles because, you know what, I forgot to tell you how they can get in. This is how they have to get in. The Cowboys and the Giants both have to lose today. Eagles win, and then the Giants would then have to beat the Cowboys next week, and the Eagles win, and the Eagles have the tiebreaker over those two. So then the Eagles will be punching their ticket to the playoffs. And, yes, if they get into the playoffs, they're going to be a team to reckon with, and I would definitely – honestly, I might pick them to at least play the Saints in the NFC Championship. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's too much talk. The Eagles just have too much to happen for them to get in, and I just don't see it.
Well, we'll see. Because when back in the AFC, did you get to the AFC West yet? Well, let's just say this. Not only are the Broncos going to make it to the playoffs, they're going to win a game. Yes, I said it because I'm serious about it. Watch, see what happens. What happens.
Okay, I have the Broncos definitely winning, out 10-6 with the AFC West crown. Yes, but they're going to be having to play the Steelers or the Ravens. I predict the Ravens. Yes, they're going to be at home, but the Ravens, I don't know if you've seen them in the playoffs, but their defense is scary, and I have all the faith that the Ravens will knock out the Broncos pretty quickly, like they did to the surprising Dolphins 3 years ago, and like they seem to do every wild card round. But we'll see what happens with that. They're going to be playing the Ravens or the Steelers, and maybe their only shot is a banged-up Ben Roethlisberger, but that's about all I have.
Well, we'll see. Just remember, I threw down the gauntlet. I told you how it's going to be, and that's the way it's going to be. So,
we will see what happens, man. And we have about 30 seconds left, so I'm going to sign out real quick. Just so you guys know, Merry Christmas. Next Sunday, I'll have another edition of the Southernmost NFL pregame show next Thursday night. I will hope to have the Southernmost Sports Wrap of my two shows. And, of course, Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, you have the Dread of Sports Talk with Captain Frank of Dread, Evil Rob, and his trusty first mate, Ken. And I guess that's all the sports shows we have on the network. And I just want to say Merry Christmas and be prepared to watch some fun NFL football today, you guys. A lot going on. I want you guys to definitely pay attention to what I said and what Captain Frank of Dread said, but it doesn't matter what we say. It's the NFL, and it's any given Sunday, and anything can happen. Good luck to all you guys' fantasy teams. I think all you guys were in the championships today, so I unfortunately am not. But good luck to all you guys, and I hope everything I said helped you guys out. And thank you, Captain Frank of Dread, for joining me on the show. Your knowledge is always welcome on the Southernmost NFL pregame show, and I hope to have you on another time.
No problem, because we'll have to do something once NFL season is over. We'll come up with something, won't we?
Hey, man, well, we still got the playoffs, so I'm looking forward to that as well. And
absolutely.
With that, Merry Christmas, man, and I'll talk to you later. And I'm signing out, guys. Merry Christmas, and good luck to all your teams today, reality and fantasy.
Ho, ho, ho. Thanks for having me.
All right. No problem, guys. Peace.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Oh, look at this run. What a run. Marshawn Lynch. Still on his feet. Ken Walker's now. He's dancing his way. And it's a step.
Are you willing to sacrifice your life?
To the most NFL pregame show on Ship to Shore Radio.